The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what names he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand, let us pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Lord God, inspire us with the meekness of John the Baptist. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. I want to begin with quoting two fragments from our two readings, which I think to modern ears perhaps sound kind of contrasting in the message they're wanting to give. From the Gospel, "All who heard these things pondered them and said, 'What then will this child become?' For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." And from our reading from Acts, our first reading, as John was finishing his work, he said, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but one is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of the sandals on his feet." So the first quotation about expectation, what will this child become? Second quotation about John's meekness, saying, "No, I am not what it's all about. Someone who's coming after me is the one you should look to. I am not worthy to untie the thong of the sandals on his feet." Now, when a child is born into the world, their parents and all those who know them will have their hopes and their expectations for the life that they will lead. At first, dominant feelings are of love for the baby, joy and gladness that a new life has started, delight at seeing a new life that is part of our life begin to take shape. And relief, maybe too, that we've got to this point safely. I think that's also mixed in there with the joy, a relief that the child has been safely delivered. But I think there are also hopes and expectations, although they are muted at first because of the intensity of the experience of caring for a new life that is utterly dependent for its well-being on others, and the profound love and feeling of care that that elicits from us. But as time goes on, the hopes and expectations we have for our little ones will develop. And as we get to know the new person in our lives, what they're good at, what delights them, what gives them joy, what makes them glad, what excites them, what fascinates them, our hopes and expectations for them will develop. And so one of the things we start to say to ourselves is, "What then will this child become?" We're not unlikely even to say in our own way that the hand of the Lord is with them, because they will often have unexpected gifts. There might be something that seems inspired about them, even though they're just a little person, something of God's Spirit in them, I would even want to say. And these gifts and inspirations will not necessarily be the kinds of things that get public notice or make people famous. As it turned out, John's gifts were gifts like that. They did make him famous. They did get him a lot of attention. But they may not necessarily be those gifts that we're glad about and we see in our little ones as they develop, because it may be their capacity for kindness and thoughtfulness that we're impressed by, or their capacity to be delighted by something unexpected, more than the kinds of talents that our world makes a fuss of. Which is why I said the two quotations I started with might sound contrasting to modern ears. However much in the privacy of our homes and our closest relationships we value the capacity to love and take care and be generous and kind above everything else, and want these to be the central themes of our lives and the lives of our little ones, our world doesn't always seem to value those things so much. Doesn't seem to value being loving, being kind, being generous, as much as perhaps we would like it to, or in our private lives, we value those things. Even our church doesn't always seem to value these things as much as perhaps it should. Successful careers are not supposed to end with someone saying, "One is coming after me, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of the sandals on his feet." Successful careers are supposed to achieve something. People are supposed to make a name for themselves. That's what our world seems to believe, seems to project onto us. In the words of a very senior colleague of mine, successful people should be rainmakers. They should be people who make the weather by sheer force of will, not people blown here and there by the forces around them. Now, one of the jokey comments that seems to be made regularly about parishes searching for a new vicar is that they should avoid asking for someone who is so talented they'd have to be the Archangel Gabriel. It's one of the things archdeacons, I've heard, it's the same archdeacon, so maybe it's just this archdeacon, but it's one of the things archdeacons say to try and encourage us to be realistic. I heard it in a previous context and I've heard it here. Don't look for the Archangel Gabriel. But I do wonder whether rather looking for an archangel, looking for John the Baptist, might be exactly the kind of thing parishes need to do. Personally, I think John is an astonishing character. He provides the background to Jesus' own ministry. He sets the scene for Jesus to step onto the stage. He is the last prophet, a towering figure, an incredibly important figure in the history of Jewish and Christian religion. He's the last prophet, but he does his work not by preaching his own message, but by getting people ready for the one who is to come. And he even says so. There is a consistent testimony in our Gospels and our other texts that John was in every sense the forerunner of Jesus. According to Luke in the book of Acts, Paul says so in Antioch in our reading this morning. And I do just want to quote some beautiful, very poignant, I think, words from John's Gospel, chapter 3, that I always think of when I think of John the Baptist. So the writer of the fourth Gospel quotes the Baptist saying, "You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." I think that's an amazing thing for a man as talented and as admired as John the Baptist clearly was to say. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. So John is a waiting figure. He's someone who points away from himself, who points away from himself to one coming after. "It's not about me," he's saying. "It's about what comes next." John isn't a rainmaker. He doesn't make the weather by sheer force of will. But I think you could say he changes the climate. From the ground up, he makes things ready for the one who is coming after him. And this is a lesson, I think, for all our lives. It's certainly a lesson I try to remember in my own life, not very successfully always, but I try to remember in my own life. We should be preparing for the ones coming after us. Maybe we feel it especially strongly, actually, when we have a new life in our hands, when we're realizing the meaning of our own lives has now been changed by the new life that we're caring for and getting to know. And we should want to help the little ones in our care to see things in a similar way in their own time, to grow up not to want to rule the world, not to be a rainmaker, not to make the weather, but to change the climate from the ground up, as John did, to get things ready for people who are coming next. And I think this is what anyone with responsibility is supposed to do. We talk about politicians serving the people. But the people they serve are not just the people they have responsibility for now, but the people of the future too, including those who will succeed them, who will beat them in an election, or succeed them when they retire. We talk about clergy serving their parishes and the people of their churches. But the people they serve are not just the people in churches now or the people who live in the area now, but the people of the future, including the new incumbent who will come after them. And the bishops and other senior clergy, as much as anyone else, should not just be aiming to make a difference now, to make a success of a project now, to make a name for themselves now, but to pave the way for the next person too. Looking back, I think in Tim, we have someone who worked hard, particularly in his last few months, as he knew he was leaving, to pave the way for someone else to ensure things are in a good place to hand on. And looking forward to the appointment of a new vicar, we should be looking for someone who has John the Baptist's outlook, who gestures beyond themselves to others, and who understands themselves as preparing the way always for others. Of course, a new incumbent needs to be able to get things done and make a difference now, but that isn't the whole story or the most important part of what they will do. Because the most important part, I think, will be to sustain the life of this place during their own time here and to strengthen it for the time when they have handed it over after they have left their responsibilities and moved on. But John the Baptist is, as I say, an example for all of us to follow. Someone who points away from himself, not towards himself, away from himself, remembering the one coming after him, and who gladly hands on his unfinished work to another. Amen.